What's going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Laker fans, 2 days away from the NBA Finals starting, Los Angeles Lakers versus the Miami Heat. We finally got a result, obviously yesterday with the Miami Heat taking care of the Boston Celtics. So now we not only know who we're playing, we know when we're playing. We got the whole schedule. Cannot tell you how much I'm looking forward to tonight's show. We'll go till 9 o'clock. I'm doing double duty. It was here in the morning. Travis Rogers and I got a chance to talk Lakers basketball, Laker fans out there. We got a chance to connect with Rob Pelinka. I'll play a little bit of that interview later in the show. Joe Vardon from The Athletic will join. We'll spend a lot of time talking about LeBron James, his journey. This is his 10th. Time in the NBA Finals. If you guys don't know Joe Vardon, he's covered LeBron James, specifically when he was the Cleveland Cavaliers, for a number of years. So I want to spend some time on that. Tim Reynolds, who covers the Miami Heat for The Athletic, he'll join the show. Tim Reynolds covers the Miami Heat for the Associated Press, for the AP. He'll come on the show in the 8 o'clock hour. So, look, I'm a very fair and balanced reporter, radio broadcaster. I want to get the perspective from the Miami Heat side. So we'll do all that. I want to start off the show. First of all, let me throw out the number. Because tonight, I do want to spend time hearing from Los Angeles Laker fans. And there's a number of different topics that we can get into. Is the Miami Heat the toughest competition Lakers have faced so far in the playoffs? Think about it. We played Portland, already took care of the Houston Rockets, the Denver Nuggets. Is Miami the toughest one, or did the Lakers already handle some of the tougher opponents? Should the Lakers make any changes to their starting lineup when they go up against the Miami Heat? Should Dwight Howard be in there? Should the Lakers maybe go smaller and throw Markieff Morris? I just mentioned that because we've seen different lineups so far in the starting lineup. So 877-710-ESPN. I'll take your guys' calls throughout the show. I want to start with this. Did you guys watch or listen right here on 710 ESPN? Did you see the demeanor of that Los Angeles Lakers team on Saturday night? Did you see the way the Lakers handled that win to not just take care of the Western Conference, but punch their ticket to the NBA Finals? Do you see the way the Lakers handled themselves? No one looked excited. No one looked content. No one looked surprised. You know, one of the things that I love in sports, I love organizations where, let me put this a different way. I respect organizations that just kind of have this mantra to them. I'll give you a couple examples. The Patriots, when they get to the Super Bowl, it's like, okay, so what? We got here. What's the big deal? When Alabama, the Crimson Tide, when they get to a national championship, or even when they win a championship, Nick Saban's got that, you know, that university always has them with a mentality of, okay, what's next? Okay, we're not that impressed. Okay, so we got here. We're in this Final Four playoff. If we don't win it, then who cares? The Dodgers this season is actually a great example. Nothing matters to the Dodgers and Dodger fans unless you win an NBA or unless you win a World Series. So the reason why I give that as an example, did you see the way LeBron James acted after that Western Conference championship? Did you see the way Anthony Davis acted after that Western Conference championship? Go down the list. Head coach Frank Vogel, Rob Pelinka, every facial expression from all of these guys, nobody cared. There's a difference in, you know, kind of thinking you can win an NBA championship and it's not realistic. And then there's the realistic expectations of, no. Your team is good enough to make it happen. You're talented enough to make it happen. You got enough veterans. You got the recipe, right? You got all the pieces here to make a championship team. And I love watching moments like that. I said this in the postgame show on Saturday after Lakers beat Denver. I talked about how one of my favorite Laker moments was that Kobe Gasol team. And when they got to the NBA Finals, they won the Western Conference. I think this was before they're going to face Orlando. By the way, it could have been the one 2010 when they're about to face Boston. And just the facial expression of all those players, you were like, okay, yeah, this team ain't messing around. nothing matters other than winning an NBA championship. And of course, that's what Kobe, that's just what his mantra was. And that was his attitude. And there's a reason why they call it the Mamba mentality. There's a lot of things that go into it. But this is a special place when the team that you root for have these types of expectations. And from top to bottom, that's how it is. Pelinka, earlier this morning, Travis Rogers and I got a chance to talk to Rob Pelinka. And, you know, that again, just that all you hear, head coach Frank Vogel was on with LZ Granderson and Sedano. We got four more to go. Yeah, no, that's great what we accomplished. Yep, that LeBron was great in game five. Uh-huh. We got four more to go. That's all I'm hearing is we got four more to go. So I wanted to start off tonight's show highlighting that, pointing that out, because that's important. You know, that is incredibly, incredibly important. I'm going to play it the other way for a quick second. So we know that the expectations for the Lakers, especially right now, where you only got four more to go for an NBA championship. But I told Michael this in the pregame show. So Michael and I, when we're doing the pregame show and we're talking about each one of these teams, and it was when Denver went down 3-1, maybe even when they were down 2-1. I told Michael, I said, Michael, would you agree with this that if Denver's season ended in this round, in the Western Conference Finals, they should be proud of themselves? You know, great accomplishments for the Denver Nuggets. What a season. You won six straight elimination games. You beat the Clippers. I don't think that's that far of a narrative than the Miami Heat. Denver surpassed anybody's expectations this season of how far they can go, especially when they were down 3-1, and they found a way to come back, double-digit deficits in 3 games in a row, and beat the Los Angeles Clippers. And now the Clippers are without a coach, because we know a couple hours ago Doc Rivers was, what they say, part ways? What's the proper terminology there that they use? Part ways. We know that, you know, obviously Doc Rivers isn't there anymore. So the Denver Nuggets accomplished something that nobody thought they would. They got that far. And then, you know, you saw them celebrate in the locker room. They were all excited. Oh, now we get the Lakers. But you never really thought the Denver Nuggets had a chance against the Los Angeles Lakers. Now I'm going to flip it over to Miami. I think the narrative is similar. If Miami lost in the NBA Finals, wouldn't you think that most people would say about the Miami Heat, what a season for this team. They represented the Eastern Conference. They beat the number one seed, the Milwaukee Bucks. What a special season, and they could definitely build off of it. Listen, I'm not saying that, and I'm going to give my initial thoughts on the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Miami Heat. I'm not saying that this isn't going to be a dogfight. I'm not saying that this isn't going to be a series. I'm not saying that the Lakers don't have to figure out a way to, you know, obviously take care of the Miami Heat. But what I'm trying to say is, expectations right now, there's only one expectation. And I love the way the Lakers have treated this entire playoffs. I love that it's taken them 15 games to get to this point where they're now just 4 wins away. They're 12-3 so far in the postseason. Miami's been impressive as well. But there's something about this Los Angeles Lakers team that I think, you know, as we kind of go through the show, I'll explain some of the differences on that end. So my initial thoughts on Lakers versus Miami. In my opinion, this is the best team we will have faced all postseason. By the way, 877-710-ESPN. Do you think Miami is better than Denver? Do you think Miami is better than Houston or the Portland Trailblazers? Is this the toughest matchup that the Lakers will have this postseason, or you think the Lakers already faced their toughest competition? 877-710-ESPN. So I think Portland and Houston, Houston and Denver, all very, very good teams. I think Miami is actually better than all three of those teams. And that's not, by the way, there are many times where if you get out of your conference, you already face the stiffest competition, and that's not uncommon in sports. It's definitely not uncommon in the Western Conference. You guys remember back in the days when it was Shaq and Kobe, you got out of the West. That was it. You were punching your ticket to an NBA championship. It didn't matter if it was Indiana or New Jersey or Philadelphia. No, no, no. You just get out of the West and it was over. I think this is a little bit different of a situation. I think this predicament with the Miami Heat, I think they have this grit to them that you can't put on paper. You know, there's certain things that you can't account for. Every time I do the post game show, I got listeners that will, you know, they'll call in and they want to highlight Alex Caruso. They say, you know, you can't put what Alex Caruso does. You can't put his impact on a box score. By the way, they're right. I don't disagree with that at all. I think with this Miami Heat team, there's some similarities to that. You know, you look at this Miami Heat team and you look up and down their roster. They've got an interesting, you know, there's a term I always hear when they talk about the Miami Heat. It's about culture. Everything is about culture. Miami has a certain culture. The Heat have a certain culture. And, of course, that comes from the top with Pat Riley. Eric Spoelstra is fantastic. You know he's going to have the team prepared. A lot of good role players that can step up at any point, and I'm talking about guys like Tyler Hero, Dragic, go down the list. Andre Iguodala, of course, Jay Crowder, Duncan Robinson. A lot of this Miami Heat team, to be honest with you, a month ago, I didn't know that much about the roster. As the playoffs progress, you're getting a chance to watch them a little bit more. And then, of course, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, the heads of the snake for this team. So this Miami Heat team's, this is a good team. This is a good team. It's not like, you know, nobody should overlook the Miami Heat. I want to do this when we come back. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I'll take a couple of your guys' calls. And I want to say, with all that being said, the way I just promoted the Miami Heat, impossible. The Lakers don't find a way to win this series. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I'm ready, Laker fans. I don't know about you guys. By driving around right now, listening on the ESPN app or on iTunes. First of all, I greatly appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Wednesday. NBA Finals starts on Wednesday. Lakers and the Miami Heat. By the way, that game tips off at 6 o'clock. Pre-game show with myself and Michael Thompson. We'll start at 4 o'clock, so we'll be, you know, obviously, all over that. Okay, I want to just get back into my point real quick. So I just spent a couple minutes praising the Miami Heat, talking about how this is going to be the toughest competition that we've faced so far in the postseason. Portland, a lot of hype behind them. You know, obviously getting into the playoffs, we took care of business in 5 games. Houston, watch out. They got a small lineup. How are you going to adjust? All that conversation. Lakers took care of them in 5 games. And then Denver, you know, when their back's against the wall, they can't stop them. Lakers took care of them in 5 games. So we know all that. By the way, I'm not trying to disrespect any of the other teams, but I do think Miami Heat will be the toughest competition that the Lakers have in this postseason. Before I get to a couple phone calls here, Joe Vardon, by the way, coming up from The Athletic at 7:30. Impossible. The Lakers don't win this series. Impossible. Doesn't mean they don't have to work. Doesn't mean they don't have to work for it. Doesn't mean it's going to be handed to them. But come on now. How in the hell is the Miami Heat, if everybody's healthy and everything just goes as planned, how is that Miami Heat going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers 4 out of 7 times? I'm not saying it can't be a series. I tweeted out yesterday, Lakers in 6. And that's not like going out on the limb. I think a lot of people would say probably Lakers in 6, even though I got a lot of Laker fans saying Lakers in 5, some saying sweep. I don't think that's happening personally. But how does the team that has the two best players in this series, and as Michael Thompson likes to say, the two best players in the NBA, Michael just straight up these last couple of games, he's like, no, I'm sick of saying two of the top 5 players in the NBA. These are the best players in the NBA, both of them. You look at both sides of the floor, what Anthony Davis does on the defensive side, obviously what he can do for the Lakers on the offensive side, leading the Lakers in scoring. You have the two best players in this series, and it's not even close. I saw a promo yesterday on ESPN. and it's promoting the finals. It's got Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler on one side of it, and it has LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the other side. And it just kind of hit me across the face. I'm like, wait a minute here. Let me have this sink in. That's LeBron James and Anthony Davis versus Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. I want to go back to what I've been saying, and I'm going to say it again. I don't mean any disrespect to the Miami Heat. What I'm just saying is, you look at this Los Angeles Lakers team, you look at this Lakers roster, you look how motivated all these players are, you look at six champions on this team, vets that have been there and done it. Dwight Howard, who's never won a championship in his life, you know what this means to him. You got a bunch of young players that are hungry too. You got a coaching staff in head coach Frank Vogel, a champion in Jason Kidd, Phil Handy. I could go up and down the list. Why am I spending so much time kind of highlighting the resume of this Lakers team? Impossible you lose this series. Impossible. Maybe I'm going out of the not going out on the limb. Maybe I'm not giving Miami enough credit or anything like that, but up and down this roster, up and down this, you know, this lineup, LeBron's chance to get number four, Anthony Davis's chance to get number one, a Miami Heat team that has already overachieved, and a Lakers team that the only thing that matters is a championship or it's a bust. Line it up any way you want. I don't see how the Lakers lose this series. Hope I don't eat my words here in a couple weeks or so. All right, let's take some phone calls here real quick. This is one of the questions I'm going to throw out there, and I know I threw this question out a couple different times. We've played Portland. We've played Denver. We've taken on the Houston Rockets, and here now you got Miami. Is Miami the toughest competition the Lakers will face all postseason, or do you think the Lakers have already faced the toughest competition? And do you agree with me when I'm, you know, sitting here in front of a microphone, I'm pretty much trying to will myself to championship number 17, or do you think I'm not giving Miami enough credit? Let's start with Steve in L.A. Thank you for calling in, my man. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, bud.
No, Alan, you're right on. I listen to you because you understand the game. You're a student of the game. I like to think so. I am, too. There's no question in my mind with the Lakers' front court depth, with their championship experience. I had them winning five in every series. Miami's a nice little team. But, Alan, I looked at the other teams. What if Bam gets in foul trouble? What if the Celtics got there? They have no front court depth. The Lakers throw JaVale. They throw Dwight. They throw AD. They're a big physical team. This is the Lakers in five, Alan.
I appreciate you calling in, Steve. Thank you for calling in. Let me squeeze in a couple more calls. PJ in L.A. PJ, appreciate you calling in, bud.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll make it very quick. Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yep, you're good.
I really think this is my go-to game seven. My second question to ask you is, being a Lakers fan, I literally don't think this is going to be a cakewalk, and I know people are saying this. What would happen if now all possibilities are
sure.
very possible,
mm-hmm.
the Lakers could lose, and if they do you think that AD with LeBron would stick around for next season?
Well, I appreciate you calling in, PJ. If the Lakers lost to the Miami Heat, it'd be devastating. It really would. It'd be devastating. You know, I've mentioned this a couple times, and why not keep repeating it? Do you realize you can win an NBA championship this year without facing the Los Angeles Clippers, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Toronto Raptors? I just point out those teams, obviously, because Toronto had won the last championship. We, of course, know Milwaukee had the best record in the NBA, and I don't have to talk about the Clippers and what the challenge that was supposed to be if the two teams faced each other. So if you're asking me, and it could happen, right? Anything is possible. Literally, and this could be one of those series where we walk in and Lakers are such heavy favorites and Miami's just a bad matchup. I don't see that happening. I don't think it's going to happen. But with all that being said, yes, you're right, it can happen. If the Lakers didn't win this year, it would be, you know, one of the worst lost opportunities that this franchise has had, especially when you got a chance to make it number 17, right? And especially because LeBron is in his 17th season, and God bless the man. But I don't know how, you know, last couple of years, everybody's saying he's going to slow down. He only looks like he's getting better. 38-16 to close out the series against the Denver Nuggets. It would be an incredibly missed opportunity. That's number one. Number two, do I think both Anthony Davis and LeBron James would suit back up and get ready to go next year? Of course I do. I really do. Listen, this is no intel. This is just me, my opinion. I don't see how Anthony Davis looks at any other opportunity and says it's going to be better than what he has here with the Los Angeles Lakers. And in this first freaking year, what a opportunity to obviously get an NBA championship and, you know, take a load off his back too. Take that pressure off. It's like, all right, I got mine. I got my one ring. Now let's go see how many more I could stack up in my career. Frank in San Pedro. Frank, I appreciate you calling in, bud. Go ahead. You're on Lakers Talk.
Thank you for the phone call, sir.
You got it, man.
I'm gonna tell you right now, by people saying that the Lakers, if they lose to the Miami Heat, you might as well go tell LeBron James right now and Anthony Davis, you're going to fail. You think any person in their right mind is going to go tell those guys to their faces or that team? I doubt that. Very much so.
Wait, Frank, so say it again. So give me your point again. I don't know if I fully understood that.
Okay. When people say that the Lakers, if they lose to the Miami Heat, I don't see that happening. It's like telling LeBron James and Anthony Davis right now, fail against the Miami Heat.
You know, Frank, you know what? One of my favorite things, and I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to try and squeeze in one more call before we go to break, so thank you for calling. You know one of my favorite things about this team is? I'll tell you. I started off the show talking about the Lakers' demeanor after they won Game 5 against the Denver Nuggets, that they just didn't care. One of my favorite things about this Lakers team, they're freaking driven. You know, to have this many players that have had success already in the NBA, six guys I've mentioned that have NBA championships. Rajon Rondo seems like a guy possessed to have one more crack at an NBA championship. I don't have to sit here and tell you what number four for LeBron James with three different teams, what that would mean to him to bring the Los Angeles Lakers back and to tie the Boston Celtics. And he's the one that, you know, obviously is the main ingredient of doing it. Anthony Davis has never won a championship in his life. He's never even been to the NBA Finals, had never even been to the semifinals, the Western Conference Finals prior to this. So I say all that because there's, you know, it's one thing to just have talent. It's a whole different thing when you have talent and you're driven. Lakers have a combination of both of that. It's a dangerous combination. I know this is all talk and it doesn't mean anything until you get four more, but that is how I feel about this current team right now. One more call real quick. Greg in Ventura. Greg, I appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on Lakers Talk.
Hey, Alan. You know, since you were about 20 years old, we've been hearing about the strength of the Western Conference over the Eastern Conference, right?
Of course.
Now we've got a wonderful team assembled with LeBron to beat three of the best teams in the Western Conference. How the hell does anybody expect that we can't beat a fifth-ranked team over in the East to blow these guys out? I totally agree with Michael Thompson, and I think I heard Steve Mason say it today that we shouldn't lose more than one game again, like we've not lost more than one game with all these Western great powers. What do you think?
Well, Greg, all they got to do now, and thank you for calling in, bud. I appreciate it. All they have to do now, go get four more. Go take care of the Miami Heat. That's all you have left that's in the way of championship number 17 in a year that I don't have to explain is a very important year for Laker fans for a number of different reasons that I don't have to get into because every Laker fan knows what I'm talking about. Go get four more. Take care of the Miami Heat. It all starts this Wednesday. When we come back, Joe Vardon from The Athletic. For those who know Joe Vardon, he does a fantastic job in The Athletic. I want to spend some time with him on just talking about LeBron James' career. 10 finals appearances. Hopefully this 10th one for him accumulates in a fourth championship for LeBron James and number 17 for the Lakers. Joe Vardon coming up next. Laker fans, appreciate you being a part of the show. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk here. Want to welcome in Joe Vardon from The Athletic. Joe, thank you for doing this, bud. And I know here we are, NBA Finals, and it's kind of crazy to think a couple months ago that we would get this far. I mean, let me start with that. Just the fact that we're here and the NBA bubble has been as successful as it has. Just your overall thoughts on how we got to this point, Lakers-Miami coming up on Wednesday.
I mean, Alan, I still remember the days and weeks leading up to the bubble and when I knew I was going, just myself being, you know, so just some real fear about kind of going out in the world and then going down to Florida and into this bubble and having no idea how that's going to work. And then after about the week plus maybe a couple of days after quarantine and you're returning all these negative tests and you realize, oh, this bubble works. And so from that perspective, like it was clear early on that they had designed something that from a virus perspective was either flawless or just they're on an incredible good run of luck. But then you also have to remember, Alan, that on August 26th, the season almost stopped for good. And that was the day that the Bucks, didn't play their game 5 against the Magic. And as we now know, I mean, I know I reported that LeBron was absolutely considering and almost planning on leaving after that happened, and went to bed that Wednesday night thinking that he was done and just so frustrated with how it all transpired. So, you know, we went into this whole thing thinking about what is the virus going to do to the league. And then, you know, probably the second thing, which was just the ongoing push for social justice and just kind of being in this science experiment that is a bubble and having frustrations build, that is what almost got the better of everybody. So it's no small thing that we're even having a finals between the Lakers and Heat.
It's been quite the journey, let's say that. And obviously starting on Wednesday will be game one, 6 p.m. tip-off, by the way. 4 p.m. we'll do pregame show with myself and Michael Thompson. Joe Vardon from The Athletic joining Lakers Talk. So, Joe, I wanted to spend some time, and I think there's nobody else better to talk to in regards to LeBron. He's back in the NBA Finals, his 10th appearance in the NBA Finals. You've covered him for years. Can you just give me your perspective? What makes this finals run special compared to some of the other ones? And not to discredit any of them, but here he is, 35 years old, and he's back at it again.
Well, I mean, this is definitely something that's been on my mind, and I spent the day kind of working on this from a reporting perspective, and I'm going to put the thoughts to paper for Wednesday morning. But yeah, we're talking about his 10th finals. Certainly, this one is unlike any other. And, you know, rather than rehash all the bubble stuff, which is true, and then also, of course, the incredible tragedy with Kobe and sort of how that affected the organization and then LeBron's kind of role as a leader there. And really just taking a step back and considering, like, who LeBron is and where he is in his career, and this finals run absolutely is different, and not just because of those things. He is an easier player to play with now than maybe he's ever been. He treats his teammates better. I don't think there's any question about that. He is not applying the pressure to a coaching staff that he normally does. And he is at a place in his life in a finals for the first time where he really, it's like he doesn't have anything, almost anything hanging over his head. I think the last thing is the record. He does not like the 3 wins against 6 losses in the finals. And I know that is, he's thinking about that now as he kind of goes into this one. But he doesn't he just doesn't have, like, how do I say this? Like, I don't want to say he doesn't have a sense of urgency, because that's not quite right. But for so many of these finals appearances, he had, like, this ticking clock in his head, either that he had to win for Cleveland, or he had to make good on going to Miami in the first place. Or there was this specter of, if things don't go my way, I'm going to leave. And then there was the last time in Cleveland where he kind of knew he was going to leave. And so he knew the last go had to be great. And it was. You know, he played in all 108 games that year and dragged a very, you know, middle-of-the-road team back to the finals. He has none of that going on now. And you could say, well, there's pressure now because of what happened with Kobe and the Lakers trying to win in this sort of unbelievable year. But it's not weighing on him like that. And so the result is a freer, easier to be around, probably more likable LeBron.
Joe, his last game, the clinching game against the Denver Nuggets, he puts up 38, 16, and 10. Are you, I guess at this point, at this stage of his career, are you surprised when you still see that type of efficiency, that type of impact? Do you feel like, okay, well, at some point in the next couple years, this might slow down? Or have you been saying that for the last couple of years? Just what do you take of that type of performance under that setting, and obviously a clinching game, absolutely dominating the fourth quarter against Denver? What do you walk away with when you see it? Like, oh, that's just LeBron, or is there a little bit more to it?
So he has slowed down. I mean, I don't think – I mean, I think if you're talking about just like the sheer – speed and athleticism, like he is playing by and large below the rim, and you're going to say, or listeners out there will say, well, wait a minute, what about all these finishes on these great lobs, and what the dunk that he pulled on Russell Westbrook there in the second round, and you know, and yeah, he's had some gaudy triple doubles, there's no doubt about that. But he's going about this in a different way. He plays angles more now because he needs to. He is, when he's going to the rim, by and large, it's for a layup. And, he's using his body more to kind of shield defenders away from getting in front of them, where before he would just run right at you. And he would bully his way and do it in a way that he wouldn't draw a charge. And that's not really what he's doing now. And then also, I mean, he is playing with a truly dominant second player in Anthony Davis, and he dominates in ways that Dwayne didn't in Miami and Kyrie didn't in Cleveland, just because they're smaller, different players. Certainly at this stage of his career, Anthony Davis is the perfect complementary player. And you almost don't want to use that word because he, not LeBron, led the team in scoring this year. But Anthony's presence also allows some of what we're seeing, because LeBron has always been one of the very smartest players on the floor at any given time. He understands all that's going on, and of course knows how to play the angles and knows where to be on the floor. And he's just using that more now than sort of like that sheer athletic ability to dominate these games.
Joe Vardon from The Athletic joining Lakers Talk. We're talking about LeBron James right now, and just I guess you could say, looking back at his career and then getting to this point, and obviously in position now to get his fourth NBA championship. Joe, as we look at the Lakers and the Miami Heat and that matchup specifically, what kind of problems do you think Miami could present to the Lakers? How can Miami make this a series? And I'm just basically going off of, okay, well, Lakers are going to be the heavy favorites and definitely don't think anything's going to be handed to them, and Miami's going to fight for however long the series goes. But how can Miami make this a series and be a legitimate threat?
Well, you know, I mean, Bam had a great conference finals. He dominated that series. And the thing is, you know, Boston doesn't really have a big. And the Lakers can run three of them at you.
Right.
And one of them is a top five player in the league. So kind of mitigates that, doesn't it? You know, I love the youth and I love the guard play of the Heat and just sort of, I mean, if, you know, as an aside, you love how they got these guys with Tyler Hero and Kendrick Nunn and of course, Duncan, you know, Robinson, those guys, like, I mean, late round picks and undrafted and, you know, and then of course, Goran Dragic is, I mean, he's the old head of the group and he's out there. I think he led them in scoring. So you like that if you're with the Heat and you wonder, you still got to question what's going on with the Laker backcourt. You know, we've seen Danny Green go cold, not lately, however, but he's certainly done it in his career and KCP can be streaky. So I guess that's something. And then, I mean, Jimmy was just kind of okay, against Boston and, you know, he's a dynamic player. Like he could do it. You know, listen, the only team dating back to since LeBron's last, run with the Heat. I mean, like what I'm trying to say is the Warriors with all of their superstars are the only team to beat LeBron in a playoff series, over the last several years. And then when you think about it, like he hasn't, he's gotten to the finals in every playoff series that he's been in starting in 2011. So you have to be an elite group for the most part. To beat a LeBron team four times in seven games. Are the Heat elite? Probably not. But they're so different. And the one thing that they have shown, and I'm not really surprised by it, is that they were made of the right stuff to get through the mental, maze that the bubble turned out to be. I was worried about the Lakers doing that. And obviously they almost cracked with leaving on the 26th. But before that, like when it wasn't about social justice and it wasn't about this or that, it was just about sort of the isolation and the rules and just not, you know, not playing in front of fans, all that. I had concerns about the Lakers. But they have shown that they can handle the pressure now as well. And so, yes, heavy favorite takes super dynamic, multi-superstar teams to beat LeBron in a seven-game series. He's got the best guy maybe ever playing alongside him. Frank Vogel's done a great job mixing and matching around him. Rondo has changed this team. And, yeah, you got to feel good about the Lakers going into it.
Joe Vardon from The Athletic joining Lakers Talk. Joe, I'm going to look forward a little bit and – I know this is early, but I'm going to do it anyways. Let's say the Lakers win a championship. They get banner number 17. How much more dangerous do you think that makes the Lakers next season? And let me kind of explain what I'm referring to. I think, like you were mentioning earlier, really no pressure on the Lakers. If they get a championship this year, I think everything else is icing on the cake during LeBron's tenure. I'll put it that way. I think this is very common where vets want to start playing. You know, they'll take less money to come play for a team that is going to have a championship run. And I know the West is going to be better next year. Certainly Golden State, Denver's going to be improving. We'll see what happens with the Clippers, but I imagine they're going to be better as well. Do you see a championship this year for the Lakers making them even more dangerous next year, just simply because of those circumstances that I laid out?
Well, I mean, it's always about cap situations and who comes in, and you know they made a run at Kawhi obviously this past summer and it didn't work out, and so they had a max slot available and they filled it with these 1 year guys, and so you know you would say that they're going to be coming off the books, and I think the answer is yes, and I think part of it, Alan, is like LeBron had kind of gotten to a point where like players didn't really want to play with him. I don't mean everybody, but you know, Kawhi Leonard, no. Kyrie, no. Twice he did that, actually. Paul George, no. KD, of course not. You know, and kind of on down the line. And then, you know, Anthony Davis, says yes, and people say, well, is it because of Clutch, or just he wanted to get to L.A., like to live there, whatever. He just wanted out of New Orleans, fine. But Anthony went there, and LeBron has been the consummate professional towards him and friend and open and willing to share everything, spotlight, basketball, whatever. And so I do think that sends up a flare throughout the league that, hey, you know, on the back couple holes of LeBron's career, that he is going to be someone that you want to play with again. And it's that you can go and really thrive. So, yeah, I think so. But like you also said, I mean, the West certainly is going to be no joke next year. That's for sure.
Joe, greatly appreciate it, bud. Thank you for doing this. Always love the insight. And I know you got such a great history of just covering LeBron James. So I thought this would be great to highlight. So thank you for doing this. And I know Laker fans appreciate the content as well.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I always like doing it.
All right, that's Joe Vardon right there. By the way, I love perspective when we could kind of look back the journey of LeBron James and somebody who's covered him for so long. We, the last 2 years, get to watch LeBron James and everything looks like, I know last year you had the injury, ended up not making the playoffs, but certainly this year and expectations once Anthony Davis came, man, it doesn't get any better than this and how quick the Lakers got things turned around. Okay, that's what I want to do when we come back. Why this year winning an NBA championship can be so crucial to next season for the Los Angeles Lakers. I'll tell you what I mean on that. Plus, more of your guys' phone calls. If you want to be a part of Lakers Talk, we are previewing Game 1 of the NBA Finals, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Miami Heat. What concerns would you have in this series? Is there anything that jumps out to you? Maybe it's specific matchups. Maybe it's head coaching. Whatever it is that concerns you about the Miami Heat, now's the time to talk about it. 877-710-ESPN. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, four more to go. Four more to go. I'm going to continue the theme that the entire Lakers organization had on Saturday, where instead of smiling and rah-rahing and all that other good stuff, no, just four more to go. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. So during the break there, Michael Thompson texting back and forth. He's not too happy with this Kansas City Chiefs Baltimore Ravens game, 34-20, the Chiefs. He's obviously a Lamar Jackson fan there. Okay, so real quick, one of the things that I've kind of been waiting to hit on and I want to hit on, this is very, very important and critical. Of course, you want to grab number 17. You want to win this championship right now. But there's a lot of layers to this that, you know, I want to walk through a little bit. Can you imagine if Lakers win championship number 17 in the next 2 weeks? And LeBron James has a chip under his belt with the Lakers, mission accomplished. And Anthony Davis, who's the present, who's the future for this Los Angeles Lakers organization, he gets one under his belt too. And now all of a sudden, any pressure that was on during this LeBron James, you know, four-year contract with the Los Angeles Lakers, you can forget about any pressure. And I don't care. Laker fans can sit out there and say, one's not enough. You could say whatever you want. But if LeBron James, in his tenure with the Los Angeles Lakers, figured out a way to get one NBA championship and tie the Boston Celtics, and let's just say hypothetically they did it this year, they get it done in the next 2 weeks, they find a way to take care of business against the Miami Heat, you're playing with house money after that. After that, I don't care what you say about anything, the organization, Rob Pelinka, Genie, but mission accomplished if you just get one. And the reason why I'm talking about why I think it's so important that if you grab this one and now you're set up in the offseason, we don't know when next year is going to start. There's still a lot of questions about the NBA, all that stuff. Okay. we have seen a front office that definitely knows what they're doing, led by Rob Pelinka. We have seen a head coach in Frank Vogel that can make any adjustment with any team at any time and, you know, certainly put this Lakers team in position to win. And if you can walk into this offseason, I want to go through this. I know, Alan, why are you already talking about next season? Come on, thinking big picture here, all right? Thinking big picture. If you can walk away from this year getting that one championship that I'm referring to, do I think that kind of changes everything moving forward for the Lakers as well? This is what I mean. You think AD is going to go anywhere if Lakers win a championship? By the way, I don't think AD is going anywhere, period. But let's say the Lakers win a championship. I think it's pretty safe to say Anthony Davis is going to say, okay, mission accomplished. I'm in L.A., making additional money off endorsements, getting paid max dollars here, already have an NBA championship, we'll have chances to potentially win more. I'm going to become a Hall of Famer, an all-time great. One day I'm going to have my jersey up at Staples Center. LeBron James will still have 2 years left on his contract. These are the contracts that the Lakers have guaranteed in the 2020-21 season. LeBron's guaranteed. AD is a player option. KCP is a player option. And Rajon Rondo is a player option as well. Now, you still have Avery Bradley on the books, JaVale McGee, Quinn Cook, Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, and Taylor Horton Tucker. They're all one-year deals. Every contract expires at the end of next season. Why do I point that out? Just think of all the options the Lakers have from there. And I'm not saying start shopping these guys that are on this team, but what I am telling you is expiring contracts are very attractive in free agency. They're attractive in as you get closer to the trade deadline. Lakers will have options. And if you win a championship this year, and I think it was such a great way for Joe Vardon to kind of lay it out, that as LeBron James this year as the perfect example, that players around the league and certainly players on this Lakers team, they are embracing playing with LeBron James rather than, okay, you know what, this guy is going to change your whole organization around. He's going to pick his own head coach. He'll have you traded. He'll this, that. If they win a championship this year, you're going to tell me you don't see other players around the NBA that are impactful players, that are veterans, and what do you typically win in the playoffs with? You win with vets, you win with guys with experience, and of course you win with talent. You're going to tell me they're not going to be players, I don't want to say lining up, but probably lining up that want to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. I think the ripple effect of winning a championship this year can have an incredible impact on this Lakers organization for the next couple of years. And when I say they're playing with house money after this year, I'm not saying you win a championship and you beat the Miami Heat, then you fold up shop, you put your hands up and say, okay, well, whatever happens from this point forward, it is what it is. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is your path to potentially winning another championship or your path to grabbing a key free agent or a player that wants to sign for the veteran minimum, I think it just gets easier and easier from there. Next year is going to be – Michael and I spent a lot of time talking about this in the pregame show. You thought the West was stacked this year. Wait till Golden State Warriors come back. Wait till Denver has another year under their belt. See what happens with the Clippers. You know they're going to reload or make some changes. They already made a big change today. So I think winning a championship this year can definitely have an impact to next season as well. All right, when we come back, I want to do a couple things. We're going to go through our top NBA stories around the NBA. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about Doc Rivers and him parting ways with the Los Angeles Clippers, the effect that could have on the Lakers and what happens in the offseason and everything else. And then Rob Pelinka. Rob joined myself and Travis Rogers this morning. We did a show from 9 to 11 focused on Lakers. But we're doing double duty. You know, we got Amanda texting me yesterday. Hey, can you do double? I'm in. Lakers are about to be in the finals. Or they're in the finals. Game one's coming up on Wednesday. All that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Lakers Talk, I'm Alan Sliwa, 710 ESPN.